If you're not on.
I don't know where to start. We are beginning to go through the transition here, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because it's going to be a personal transition as well as a church transition. And I think we just need to reestablish. Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Can you hear me in the back? Okay. We're going through a transition. And it's going to take some adjustment on all of our parts. And I want to share some thoughts with you about reestablishing some personal goals. It's been my observation over my ministry time that the older we get, the more we get set in our ways. I mean, if I went to your house to have dinner, I'd probably have the same food that you've been eating for years. Some of you like your steak. We're still walking. I like mine dead. Well done. I don't eat steak anymore. But we have certain things that we like. And as a church, we have certain things that we like. Now, the next pastor of this church will not be like the pastor that we loved and appreciated for several years. And we need to get our mindset on that particular thing, because all of us preachers are different, just like all of you are different. Some of you are weird, some of you are normal. Preachers are different, depending on their upbringing, depending on their training, depending on how long they walk with the Lord. We're different. And we share, God has a way of dealing with this as individuals. We're not out of the same mold. We believe the book will mold us, but God develops certain things within us in our reading and studying of the Word of God. I was in a meeting yesterday that pastor said that he loved preaching out of the Old Testament. Most preachers do not love preaching out of the Old Testament that much. I particularly like to preach out of the New Testament, but I preach out of the Old Testament a lot also. We all have our different prayer types and how we pray. But I want to help us maybe a little bit in our transition. What God is going to do with us and through us, but all that rests upon our faith in God and how we rely upon Him. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Bible is talking about the just living by faith. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be living by faith. How we walk in faith is up to us. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I like to observe people. When I'm in a crowd, I'm normally the quiet one. That's me. I can speak when I'm in front of people, but if you put me in a crowd, a social gathering, I typically am the quiet one. And that's how. I'm an introvert by nature, and I observe people, and if I'm around them enough, I begin to formulate some thoughts about them and how they interact and how they act and what I know about them from the outside of the meeting and inside of the meeting, to see if they align together. God has a way of just, that's the way I am. But are you willing to say that you're a Christian? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Some Christians are ashamed to admit in certain circles that they go to church, that they pray, that they read the Word of God, that they try to grow spiritually, and they're looking for ways to serve the Lord. Our lifestyle indicates what we really believe and who we are and what we are. Acts chapter 5, verse number 29, Peter got to the place where he said with the other apostle and answered and said, we ought to obey God the Father rather than men. That's a tough position to be in as a believer. To obey God rather than men. And are we willing to compromise who we are to facilitate people, other people, or will we stand for the gospel of Christ? Will we stand for the Lord? That's an individual decision that we make on a daily basis, wherever we are, whoever we interact with, whoever we listen to. My mind keeps going back to a certain individual. When I was at Bible college years ago, Bible college students could only work part-time jobs in the afternoon or take a second shift job. And I had a background in design, so I designed houses. And I met certain contractors, and I designed houses for them. And one of them, I worked for him for, I designed a couple houses for him. He said, can you work as a carpenter? And I said, yes. So I did that for in the afternoons, which I could only work 1 to 4:30, I think it was, 1 to 5. That wasn't enough to survive on. And so the next semester, he gave me a job working in a shop that he owned. He sold cabinets. And because of his home building, he was able to supply his own cabinets, save some money that way. But one day in the shop, I just remember the warehouse, that one of his sons started telling some off-color jokes, and I felt very uncomfortable about it. And I didn't like it. But the thing of it is that we reflect who we are when we're not in church a lot of times. And that's been 40-some years ago, and I still remember that particular incident because it made me feel so uncomfortable. He was in church every Sunday. He was in his 20s. But outside of church, he had a different lifestyle. And that left a lasting impression upon me. So I asked, are we willing to say that we're a Christian wherever we are? And do we live that way? And does our speech, in a sense, betray us, as Scripture says, of who we are and what we do? It's one thing to be in the house of God every day, every Sunday, and I appreciate you being here. Your presence here today speaks loud to my ears. It tells me that you're going to be faithful regardless of who stands behind this podium. And that's important for your spiritual benefit, that your faithfulness is demonstrated by your presence. And I want to compliment you on that. I know there's things that come up in life that that draw us away from the house of God. I won't be here next week. Okay, I'm warning you, I'll be in Tappahannock next week. But I'm in the house of God every Sunday. Weather permitting and health permitting, that's just the way that I am. I've been that way since I met the Lord in 1971. I've never laid out unless I was sick, really sick. I know I stayed out one time last year because I had been exposed to COVID and I didn't know if I was carrying it. So I stayed home. Other than that, if I'm not in the house of God, I'm sick. Bottom line. That's it. And I can probably count on my fingers and toes the number of times that I've missed church because I don't get sick that often. At least until December. I got sick twice in December this past December, and I get sick about once every 10 years, and it just threw me for a loop, not only physically, but psychologically. But the thing of it is, are we willing to say that we're a Christian, regardless of where we are? If I can get that point across to you. The second thing I want us to see is that, will you arrange your priorities in the right order? Come Sunday, I plan to be in the house of God, bottom line. I schedule other things or do not schedule other things around my time with God. That's just the bottom line. But attending God's house is a priority with me. I can remember the first year that we met the Lord, our car broke down. And it was a Wednesday. And my wife and I decided we'd walk to church. It was probably a two and a half mile walk to church. So we walked to church on that Wednesday night. And in the service, I mean, we just attended because that's what we thought we needed to do. But there's a man in the church that's a mechanic, so we told him that the car cut off on my wife just in the middle of the road, so to speak. And he says, I'll take a look at it. So he went out there. That's when they had points or whatever it was. He went out there and set those points in the dark. That's the best he could. He says, bring it to me tomorrow in the daylight. I'll get it right. But he drove us home. He took me to the car. He fixed the car, got it. And my wife was able to drive the next day to go to work. But the thing of it is that he arranged his priorities to do the right thing. Are we willing to set our priorities to do the right thing? Sometimes it's to help people. Sometimes it's just to be faithful in the house of God. But are we willing to put God first in our lives and say, God, what would you have me to do today? And a lot of how you live is based upon your private time with God. It's a priority with me to spend time with God every day. It's what I do. I get up, I spend time in prayer, and then I spend time in the Word. That's my priority. That's the beginning of my day. Now, I happen to do it very early in the morning, and then after I usually have my devotions, I go back to bed, because it's usually about 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. This morning was like 6:30, and I went back to bed. I just laid there. I did take a little short nap. But the thing of it is that my priority is to spend time with God. How is your priority? How's your time with the Lord? Matthew says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. The thing of it is that do we put God first? That's what I'm asking myself. I have to ask myself that during the daytime. Am I willing to put God first? I know I'm the errand boy at our house. I do all the errands. That's just my wife very seldom leaves the house. I sometimes wonder if her skin doesn't turn paler than what it is, but she never sees the sunlight. But she never leaves the house. But the thing of it is do we seek God first in our lives? Are we willing to put God first in our lives? I know we get up, we go to work, we take care of our daily responsibilities. But is God in our, is God, how is he in our priorities? And then the, I think if our priorities are right, there's that still, small, quiet voice of the Lord. Can, the third thing, can we hear God's voice? I used to think you had to be super spiritual to hear God speak to your heart. Referred to how God spoke to Elijah. I thought you basically had to be able to call down fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice and all that, hear God's voice. But I, over the years, I've realized that God has a way of speaking to you in your heart. Sometimes he uses scripture to speak to you. Sometimes he uses a conversation with somebody else to speak to you. Every once in a while, if I go down I-95 going towards Richmond, there's usually a billboard on the left-hand side that has some sort of reference to God. And sometimes that speaks to me. Sometimes it's just refreshing. But the thing of it is that do we allow God to speak to us? Are we, is our walk so in tune with God that he can tell us, go here, or burden you to help somebody, or to say a particular thing. God just has that way of leading you if we listen to him. But what I have found with my life, I don't know about anybody else's, I have to be sort of quiet to hear his voice. He doesn't scream at me. But he speaks to my heart in such a way that I know that it's him. Sometimes I have to ask, God, is that you? And he will remind me or somehow reassure me that it is him. That it's not my flesh talking to me, but it's God the Spirit talking to me about doing something for Jesus. I referred to 1 Kings 19:12. After that, a still, small voice. If you go back and read that scripture, you find that God gave the example of wind and fire to get Elijah's attention. Because the scripture goes on and says, God wasn't in the fire. God wasn't in the wind. But it's the small voice, quiet voice of the Lord. Literally, that means a delicate, whispering voice. That's the reason why I have to sit still, to let God speak to me. When God speaks to me, I'm usually alone. And then he can have my attention, that I can hear his voice and let him speak to me, and then I can be reminded to do whatever he wants me to do. The next thing I want us to look at is that we willing to put God first in our lives and ourselves later. This comes down to priorities. Who's in charge of us? Who is the Lord of our lives? Do we let him speak? It's a daily responsibility with me that to let God be in charge of me and not myself. There are certain things I like to do every day. Spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word, spend time writing devotions. That's my priority every day. That's what I want to do. Somehow make that work. John chapter 3 and verse number 30, the Apostle John said, John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. He must increase in my life, and I must decrease my own priorities and let him be in charge of my own life. I find that challenging for me. I find it, in a sense, rewarding for me, comforting for me, that I can rest assured that God's going to take care of me wherever I am. I may not get my way. It may be some adverse circumstances there, but he's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. And he's promised that just to be with me and to comfort me. Then he's made that same statement, same promise to each and every one of us, that we just let God be in charge of us. If we're going to be what we need to be as a church, we're going to have to depend upon him to let him lead us to the next pastor. And then we need to rally behind him. He's not going to be able to do everything like Pastor Summers. So don't make the mistake of comparing the two. He's going to be different. If you sit close enough to me, you notice that when, according to my wife, when I get serious, I flutter my eyes. I don't know that I do it. But I'll take your word for it. I've never seen myself do it. I've never looked in the mirror and seen that. But today, we're all different. Pastor may run up and down this platform. He may step down here and get down here in the middle of the aisle right here to speak face to face with you. He may stand up here and never move from this pool. There's been times where I've held on for this thing for dear life because my legs were shaking so bad. And there's been times that I've walked and I could almost wear a pant in the carpet. We're all different. So whoever comes, accept him as he is. He's going to be different. He's going to be different from anybody you've ever had. He may. But if God's hand is upon him, then God can use him to help us along the way. He will feed us. What God gives him, he will give to us. And recognize that God's in charge. May God wants to use us. 1 John chapter 3, chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For this is the love of the Lord, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome, they're not grievous." If we are obedient, then God will guide us along the way. But obedience is necessary and beneficial to us. I don't know if some of you can remember. I'm sure some of you can. Most of you lived in a day where your parents believed in corporal punishment. My mom, we lived in a place that if I would look there now, I'd probably cut out of that willow tree. So she used to get those willow limbs and wrap them around my legs. Leave welts on my legs, whatever I did. And I deserved it, even though I didn't think I did, I deserved it. But I guess that's called child abuse now. But I remember one time she said she was ashamed how bad she beat me. And I don't know, it was probably the time I threw a green, at the time I threw a green snake in the living room floor. And so my mom was petrified of snakes. And I remember laughing. And I finally, my man took it out, caught it, took it out, threw it outside. I didn't kill it. But the thing of it is, that's probably the time that she beat me when she was ashamed of beating me. She beat me so bad, whipped me so bad, spanked me so bad, switched me so bad. I don't remember the punishment. I just remember laughing at her. Being hysterical. Now, I wouldn't advise throwing a snake in the living room floor. I would not advise that. But the thing of it is, it's all we want to put God first in our lives. Are we willing to do that? And then the next thing I want us to see is that, do you hang around people with integrity? That's important, that you hang with people that have integrity. Now, I know we are to go into the world and share the gospel, And I'm assuming most of the people are not people of integrity. We are to share the, we are to share the gospel by the way we speak and by the way we live. But when we're not witnessing, when we're not in a place to share the gospel, are we people of integrity? Do we do what God has us to do? I don't know what I was reading relatively recently, that most employers base their productivity of their employees to about 6 hours out of 8, because 2 hours they're going to waste somehow along the way. But do you hang with people of integrity? Proverbs chapter 12 puts it this way. But those who deal truthfully are his delight. God wants us to deal truthfully, regardless of whether it's to our benefit or not to our benefit, earthly wise. It is to our benefit spiritually, and we're rewarded heavenly for being people that tell the truth. It's hard to tell the truth sometimes. There's situations that you will be in that's just difficult. You feel like it's better to keep your mouth shut or to lie than to tell the truth. If someone asks you if you agree with them, you don't have to say yes. You can say, I have a different point of view. And then either explain the different point of view or just let it go with that. But you're telling the person that's asking the question, I don't agree with you or how you practice or what you do, but I'm going to stand in my own integrity and I'm going to do what God would have me to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 says, and have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Let establish your reputation that you're going to stand for what is good and for what is right, regardless of the situation. Because you're a person of integrity. Then 2 Thessalonians puts it this way, but as for you, brother, do not grow weary in doing good. I think that's really where you and I fit in. Don't grow tired of just doing good. Good is always good, regardless of whether people disagree with you or not. Doing good is always good. It's easy to say, but I know circumstances can be difficult. Do good regardless of where you are. And it enhances you. It builds you up if you hang with people that have integrity. The sixth thing is that I am guilty of probably more than I want to admit. Do you express gratitude? I am not good at expressing gratitude. I thank it, I appreciate it, but I don't often tell the person that I appreciate your stand, I appreciate what you did, I appreciate how you did it, I also appreciate it. I'm one of these guys that the good I do, I keep to myself and whoever I do it for. I don't brag about I helped somebody do something, or I did this favor for somebody, or I gave them a ride, or I fixed a car. I can't fix cars. Or I helped give you the money to fix the car, or whatever, or pay the rent. I do those things, but I don't share those things. And that's just who I am. And so I don't brag about that I helped somebody do something, or somebody had problems and God led me to do that. I have a friend, a dear friend. He has the ability to, he helps everybody, bottom line, to his own hurt. And then he gets in trouble because he helped everybody financially. And occasionally I've helped him along the way when God leads me. I don't always help him along the way. I know the last time he was in trouble, but he said, "I don't want anybody to help me. I want to get out, I want to dig out of this hole by myself." And that's where he is. But he wanted to trust God to get him out of that particular situation. Do we show gratitude? First Chronicles, Old Testament verse, says to stand every morning and to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. When your feet hit the floor, or before your feet hit the floor, do you thank God for another day that you woke up, that you're able to get out of bed, that you have food in the kitchen somewhere? I thank God that I'm able to be mobile. I thank God that I have a roof over my head. Do you realize that most of the world does not have the kind of roof that you have over your head? Do you realize that I was looking at some pictures of a particular missionary, and the people were living in rooms smaller than my bedroom. It was made out of scrap metal and plastic. What a blessed person I am to be able to have a roof over my head. Heat in the house. Air conditioning in the summertime. We're very blessed in America. It doesn't make any difference how rich you are, how poor you are. There's certain basic things that you have that most of the world does not have. We are blessed. Do we show our gratitude? Do we thank the Lord for taking care of us, watching over us? Psalms puts it this way: it's good to give thanks to. It's just good to give thanks to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for going out. I don't know how many times I thank the Lord. I'm thankful that I have a car to go wherever I'm going, and I don't have to get on a horse to ride wherever I'm going. It'd probably take me an hour, hour and a half to ride a horse to church. Probably take me two hours to walk, at least 2 hours to walk. I'm thankful that I can get in it. I actually went out to the car, started it up, let it warm up, so it was warm when I got in the car today. That's a blessing, just to have a warm car. I had a car one time that had no heat. It was cold. I know it was a Comet. I want to say it was a 64 Comet. It didn't have any heat in it. It got cold in the winter. And I was in a carpool driving to work. The men didn't like driving to work with me because of the stuff in the car. We had to get the body heat had to warm up the car. It was like four of us in the car. But thank God for what you have. And then, what about your prayer life? I don't go very far in the message before I speak about prayer. Prayer is the most important thing that you do every day. You are nothing without the grace of God. All that you have, your health, your strength, everything that you have is by the grace of God. about your prayer life. Spending time with God, not just asking for things, but just spending time with Him. Spend time in praise. Just thank Him for all that you have. And don't say, Lord, just thank you for everything you give me. Name some things. If I was to walk in your house and go to your closet, how many outfits do you have? If you have more than one, you are blessed. Because most of the world only has one. Maybe two. I have enough summer shirts that I can go 2 weeks without washing clothes. I'm thankful for that. Some of them are old, some of them are fine. I'm thankful that I have. Every once in a while, she says, you need some new shirts. You need to get rid of them. Bum, bum, bum. So you know what she does? She gets online, she starts working. But be thankful for what you have. Be prayerful. 1 Thessalonians, it's hard for me to grasp all of and communicate. Pray without ceasing. Always, always pray. You don't have to. I pray in my devotion time. But I pray throughout the day, asking God to help me. Or thank Him for helping me. Or thank Him for protecting me. Especially driving down Route 10. Some people drive like they're crazy. And just to thank God that I have a vehicle that says, if I don't apply the brakes fast enough, or I get too close to somebody, and this light comes on, this sound comes on, and basically, step on the brake even faster. But pray without ceasing. And then Luke tells us that when the Lord was speaking by a prayer, he says that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. I think our danger because of our lifestyle and our age is that we expect God to answer us at the snap of a finger. God has answered some of my prayers that fast. But there's been many a prayer that I've prayed for years. And there's been many a prayer that God has taken the burden away from me about praying for it because He told me either He answered the prayer the way that I wanted or He chose not to answer the prayer. A lot of times, no is good, is a good answer for your prayer. There's been a number of times that after God has told me no, a month later, 2 months later, or later, God has reminded me that it was a good thing that He said no. But how's your prayer life? Spend time with God. Thank you for getting you home safe. Thank you for giving you health. Thank you for supplying the food on your table. Thank Him for just taking care of you. Supplying whatever needs to be supplied. Comforting you. Giving you peace of mind. That you can put your head on your pillow at night and not have to worry about any particular thing. Let God speak to you, but you need to take time to speak to Him. Let God use you. Pray. If you don't do anything else but pray every day, spend time with God. It'll change your life. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the time together. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the listening ear of these people. Pray, Lord, that you bless them, watch over them, take care of them, guide this church in the coming months, that we might be the church you'd have us to be, that we might draw closer to you, that we might depend upon you and trust your leadership to lead us and guide us and direct us, not only as a church, but individually, that we will pray for our next pastor, that you will direct our steps and his steps in such a way that they can be connected to the glory of Christ. Would you use us and guide us? We ask this in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.